From the pen of P.G. Woodhouse, this is What Ho Jeeves. Starring Richard Briers as Bertie Wooster and Michael Hordern as Jeeves, What Ho Jeeves was adapted and produced by the BBC. I'm your host, Fred Callan.
You could have knocked me down with an F. When Jeeves informed me that Madeline Bassett had broken off her engagement to Gussie Finknottle due to his having been stewed to the eyebrows at the time of the proposal, I own that I reeled. And I'll tell you why I reeled. 2 days previously, in the course of a stroll through the gardens of Brinkley Court, my Aunt Dahlia's country seat, the circumstances had so arranged themselves that this blighted Bassett had got it into her nut that I was in love with her. And when a soupy specimen like the Bassett is under the impression that you have proposed to her, the last thing you want to hear is that she has scratched the Finknottle nomination after only 6 hours and is back on the market again. So as I say, I reeled. I was still reeling and massaging the pumpkin, trying without success to spear the silver lining in the whole grisly business, when something heavy barged against the door of my room and young Tuppy Glossop came in. The last time I had seen this man of wrath, if you recall, he had accused me of stealing my cousin Angela from him, and had expressed the intention of kicking my spine up to the top of my head. It seemed to me now that he was still wearing a distinct air of menace. He stood glowering at me for a space, and then ground a heel in the carpet. A thing I've often read about, but never seen done before. But when he eventually spoke, it transpired that it was Gussie, not Bertram, who was responsible for his steamed-upness.
Bertie? Hello? Bertie, I owe you an apology. I have come to make it.
Apology?
Quite. This Bassett business.
What Bassett business?
Bertie, you remember last night you told me it couldn't have been you who stole Angela from me at Cannes, because all that time you were in love with Madeline Bassett?
Did I? Yes, I suppose I did.
Well, I gave you the impression that I believed you, but I didn't. The thing seemed too incredible. However, since then I have made inquiries, and the facts appear to square with your statement. I have now come to apologize for doubting you.
Made inquiries?
Yes. I asked her if you'd proposed to her, and she said yes, you had.
Tuppy, you didn't.
I did.
Oh, my aunt. But have you no delicacy, no proper feeling?
No.
Oh. No. Well, right-ho, of course, but I think you ought to have.
Delicacy be dashed. I wanted to be sure it wasn't you who stole Angela from me. I now know it wasn't.
Ah, well, that's fine. Hold that thought.
It's rather funny, actually, Tuppy, you know. I'm not really in love with a Bassett, you know.
What? I mean, yes. Of course I am. I'm desperately in love. Absolutely, don't you know, and so forth. In love. Absolutely.
You'd better be.
Quite.
Bertie, do you remember what I swore I would do to the chap who stole Angela from me?
As nearly as I recall, you planned to pull him inside out.
And make him swallow himself.
Yes.
Right, the programme still holds good, and I've now found out who it was.
What? But, my dear Tuppy, I keep assuring you as a competent eyewitness that nobody snitched Angela from you during that camp trip.
No, but they did after she got back.
But she hasn't seen anybody since she got back.
Oh, no? How about that Newt bloke?
Newt bloke? Oh, Gussie.
Precisely. The serpent Finknottle.
But, Tuppy, this is absolute gibbering. Gussie loves the Bassett.
You can't all love this blighted Bassett. What astonishes me is that anyone can do it.
Quite. I mean, come.
He loves Angela, I tell you, and she loves him.
But Angela handed you your hat before Gussie ever got here.
No, she didn't. Couple of hours after.
Well, he couldn't have fallen in love with her in a couple of hours.
Why not? I fell in love with her in a couple of minutes.
Well, yes, but I mean...
I worshipped her immediately we met, the pop-eyed little excrescence.
Well, yes, but dash it.
Don't argue, Bertie. The facts are all docketed. She loves this newt-nuzzling blister.
Quite absurd, laddie, quite absurd.
Oh, yes? Then perhaps you will explain how it is that she happens to come to be engaged to him.
What? What? Engaged to him?
She told me herself.
She was kidding.
She was not kidding. Shortly after the conclusion of this afternoon's prize-giving binge at Market Snodsbury Grammar School, he asked her to marry him, and she appears to have right-hoed without a murmur.
But there must be some mistake.
There was. The snake Finknottle made it, and by now I bet he realizes it. I've been chasing him since 5:30.
Chasing him?
All over the place. I want to pull his head off.
I see. Quite.
You haven't seen him by any chance?
No.
Well, if you do, say goodbye to him quickly and put in your order for Lily's. Jeeves.
Sir?
Have you seen Mr. Finknottle?
No, sir.
I'm going to murder him.
Very good, sir.
Well, Jeeves.
Precisely, sir.
Quite. Do you know what? Mr. Finknottle is engaged to my cousin Angela.
Indeed, sir.
Well, how about it? But do you grasp the psychology? Does it make sense? Only a few hours ago he was engaged to Miss Bassett.
Gentlemen who have been discarded by one young lady are often apt to attach themselves without delay to another, sir. It is what is known as a gesture.
Oh, I see what you mean. Defiant stuff.
Precisely, sir.
A sort of, oh, right-ho, please yourself, but if you don't want me, there are plenty who do.
Exactly, sir. My cousin George...
Well, never mind about your cousin George, Jeeves.
Very good, sir.
I'm going to keep him for the long winter evenings, what?
Just as you wish, sir.
Anyway, what's the time?
Just on 8 o'clock, sir.
I think Tuppy must have been chasing him for 2.5 hours. We must save the unfortunate blighter, Jeeves.
Certainly, sir.
A human life is a human life, what?
Exceedingly true, sir.
The first thing, then, is to find him. Oh, hang it all, Jeeves. 8 o'clock, did you say?
You're approaching 1 minute past now, sir.
Well, I ought to be dressing for dinner, oughtn't I?
No, sir.
No?
It will not be necessary, sir. I came to tell you the company will not be dressing tonight. A cold collation has been set out in the dining room.
Why's that?
It was Mrs. Travers's wish that this should be done in order to minimise the work for the staff who are attending a dance at Sir Percival Stretchley Budd's residence tonight.
Oh, of course, yes. I remember my cousin Angela told me. Tonight's the night, what? Are you going to it?
No, sir. I'm not very fond of this form of entertainment in the rural districts.
I know what you mean, yes. These country binges are all the same. A piano, one fiddle, and a floor like sandpaper. Is Anatole going? Angela hinted not.
Miss Angela was correct, sir. Monsieur Anatole is in bed.
Temperamental blighters, these French chefs, Jeeves.
Yes, sir.
Right-ho, then. Operation Gussie claims all our attention for the nonce. You go forth, Jeeves, and scour the neighbourhood for him. I, meanwhile, will seek out my cousin Angela and tackle her squarely about her mutton-headed behaviour in saying yes to the chump in the first place.
Very good, sir. Miss Angela has, I believe, taken Mrs. Travers's Pomeranian for a walk, heading for the stream at the bottom of the garden, I was given to understand, sir.
Oh, right-ho, Jeeves. To the stream or brook it is, then. And you find Gussie.
I will do my very best, sir.
Right-ho, Jeeves. That's good enough for me. Right-ho. Angela? Here I come. Oh, Angela? Angela.
Oh, Bertie, hello.
Angela, now look. I've, just been talking to Tuppy.
Oh, yes?
Yes. It appears that you have gone and got engaged to Gussie Finknottle.
Quite right.
You can't possibly love a chap like Gussie, Angela.
Why not?
Well, you simply can't. I mean, dash it, old girl. The man's a fish-faced freak. Splendid chap in many ways, of course. I'm courteous, amiable, but...
All right, then. Perhaps I don't love him.
Well, then what did you want to go and get engaged to him for, you unreasonable young fathead?
I thought it would be fun.
Fun?
Yes. And so it has been. I've had a lot of fun out of it. You should have seen Tuppy's face when I told him.
Ha! A gesture.
What?
You got engaged to Gussie just to score off Tuppy. A gesture.
Yes, I suppose you could call it that.
I'll tell you something else I call it, viz. A dashed low trick. I'm surprised at you, young Angela.
I don't see why.
Being a female, you wouldn't. You pull off the rawest stuff without a pang. You pride yourselves on it. Cool, what a sex. Old Pop Kipling never said a truer word than when he made that crack about the F of the S being deadlier than the M. You aren't proposing to keep this up, of course.
Keep what up?
This rot about being engaged to Gussie.
I certainly am.
Just to make Tuppy look silly.
Do you think he looks silly?
I do.
So he ought to.
Silly young geezer.
I'm not a silly young geezer.
You are a silly young geezer. What's more, you know it.
I don't know anything of the kind. Oh, for goodness sake, Bertie. Go away and boil your head.
That, my dear young pimple, is just what I'm going to go away and boil. I shall now leave you. I've had my say.
Good.
But permit me to add...
I won't.
Right. In that case... Tinkety-tonk.
And I meant it to sting. Moody and discouraged were about the two adjectives you would have selected to describe me as I meandered back to the house. It would be idle to deny that I had expected better results from this little chat. It seemed to me in the Cirques, however, that there was but one thing to do. That is, head for the dining room and take a slash at that cold collation of which Jeeves had spoken. For there is no gainsaying the fact that all this naked emotion stuff reduces a chap's vitality and puts him in the vein for a good whack at the beef and ham. To the dining room, accordingly, I repaired, and had barely crossed the threshold when I perceived Aunt Dahlia tucking into salmon mayonnaise. I was somewhat embarrassed.
Ever since Anatole, that wizard of the cooking stove, had handed in his notice some 2 days before, after one of my schemes had backfired, my standing with the relative had been on the low side of lowish. And, of course, I wasn't sure how she had taken Gussie's rather individual distribution of the prizes that afternoon. However, she appeared to be in a cordial mood. Clearly, she had not yet been informed of Angela's engagement, for nothing could have exceeded the geniality with which she waved a prongful of salmon at me.
Oh, Bertie, you old ass. I thought I shouldn't find you far away from the food. Try some of this salmon. It's excellent.
Anatole?
No, he's still in bed. The kitchen maid has struck an inspired streak. It suddenly seems to have come home to her that she isn't catering for a covey of buzzards in the Sahara Desert. She's put out something quite fit for human consumption. There's good in the girl, after all, and I hope she enjoys herself at the dance.
The dance. Is Sipping's going?
I'll say. I wish I could be there. I've never seen a butler doing the rumba.
Nor I, Aged R, nor I.
I say, Bertie, this, spring bottle...
Not all.
Bottle. After that exhibition of his this afternoon, bottle and nothing but bottle. However, what I was going to say was that if you see him, I wish you would tell him that he's made an old woman very, very happy. Except for the time when the curate tripped over a loose shoelace and fell down the pulpit steps, I don't think I've ever had a more wonderful moment than when good old bottle suddenly started ticking you off from the platform. Is it true that you cheated when you won that scripture knowledge prize?
Certainly not, Aunt Delia. My victory was the outcome of the most strenuous and unremitting efforts. I said, what is all this? I thought you might have been a trifle peeved by Gussie's manoeuvres on the platform this afternoon. I confess that I'd rather expected the tapping foot and a drawn brow.
Nonsense! What was there to be peeved about? I took the whole thing as a great compliment. Proud to think that any drink from my cellars could have produced such a majestic jag. Besides, I couldn't be peeved at anything tonight. I am like a little child, clapping its hands and dancing in the sunshine. Although it has been some time getting a move on, Bertie, the sun has at last broken through the clouds. Ring out those joy bells. Anatole has withdrawn his notice.
What? Oh, very hearty congratulations.
Thanks. Yes, I worked on him like a beaver when I got home this afternoon. And finally, vowing he would ne'er consent, he consented. He stays on, praises be. And the way I look at it now is that God's in his heaven and all's right with the world. Hello, Jeeves, me old hearty. What can I do for you?
My errand is a twofold one, madam. On the one hand, I have a message for Mr. Wooster, which is that I have been successful in my efforts to locate Mr. Finknottle. And on the other hand...
I say, Jeeves, is he still alive?
Yeah, Mr. Finknottle, most decidedly, sir. And on the other hand, madam, though I would not normally take the liberty of raising the matter myself, in view of the fact that Mr. Sippings has now departed for the evening's festivities at Kingham Manor, it occurred to me...
Oh, yes, Jeeves. Get on with it.
Certainly, madam. It is with reference to Monsieur Anatole, madam. Is it by your wish, madam, that Mr. Finknottle is making faces at Monsieur Anatole through the skylight of his bedroom?
Faces?
Yes, madam.
Through the skylight?
Yes, madam.
You mean he's sitting on the roof?
Yes, madam. It has upset Monsieur Anatole very much.
Upset? Oh, my God! Out of my way!
Jeeves, my place is at Aunt Delia's side.
Very good, sir.
And you come too.
Very good, sir.
Oh, my golly. Anatole upset. Oh, my golly. Come on, Jeeves, come on.
Very good, sir.
Oh, come on, for heaven's sake, come on! The first thing that met the eye on entering Anatole's room was the man himself, standing by the bed in pink pajamas, waving his fist at the skylight. Through the glass, Gussie was staring down, and his bulging eyes and open mouth gave him so striking a resemblance to some rare fish in an aquarium that one's primary impulse was to offer him an ant's egg. Aunt Delia, however, in her practical way, was coming straight to the point.
What What's all this, Monsieur Anatole?
Oh, dog, you ask me what is it? Listen, make some attention, a little. Me, I have itchy hay, huh? But I do not sleep so good, and presently I wake and up I look, and there is one who make faces against me through the dashed window. Is that a pretty affair, huh? Is that convenient? If you think I like it, you surely will mistake yourself. Oh, I am so mad as a wet hen. And why not? This is a bedroom. What? Not a house for some apes? Then for what do blighters sit on my window so cool as a few cucumbers making some faces, huh?
Quite right. Dash reasonable, eh, Jeeves?
Certainly, sir. I would imagine that Mr. Finknottle is attempting to indicate to Monsieur Anatole that he is desirous of being let in, but is failing to get his message across due to the insulating qualities of the glass. If you wish it, sir, I could readily procure a pole with which to open the skylight.
Do so, Jeeves, and with all convenient speed.
Very good, sir.
It's all right, Monsieur Anatole. It's all right.
All right? No. The hell you say it is all right. Not yet. Quite too quick, my old sport. It is by no means all right. It is some very different dishes of fish. I do not find it agreeable when one play larks against me on my windows. If such renegade is to arrive, I do not remain any longer in this house no more. I pass off and do not stay planted.
Oh, no, Monsieur Anatole. Please don't make any hasty decisions. I will have him removed. Go away, Bottle, and stop waggling your eyebrows.
I think what he's trying to convey, Aunt Delia, is that if he moves, he'll fall down the side of the house and break his neck.
Well, why not?
Good point.
Ah, Jeeves, you have procured a pole?
Yes, sir.
Let's get on with it then, Jeeves, before Aunt Delia explodes. She's beginning to look like a tomato, struggling for self-expression.
Very good, sir.
No. Ah, Gussie, wait, before Aunt Delia gets you. Let's leave.
Come, Bertie.
Come on. Phew. Hey, Jeeves?
My sentiments precisely, sir.
Well, Gussie?
Oh, Bertie.
I suppose Tubby was after you.
Yes, he nearly got me too. It was only by shinning up a drainpipe that I shook him off.
That baffled him, did it?
Yes, but then I scrambled along a sort of ledge and found I'd got stuck. The roof sloped down in all directions. I couldn't go back. I had to go on crawling along this ledge. And then I found myself looking down the skylight. Who was that chap, Bertie?
That was Anatole, Aunt Delia's chef.
French?
To the core.
Oh, well, that explains why I couldn't make him understand. What asses these Frenchmen are. They don't seem able to grasp even the simplest thing. You'd have thought that if a chap saw a chap on a skylight, the chap would realize the chap wanted to be let in, wouldn't you? But no, he just stood there.
Waving a few fists.
Yes. Oh, silly idiot. Still, here I am.
Here you are, yes. For the moment.
Eh? Is that Glossop lurking somewhere? Oh, what shall I do, Bertie?
Sneak back to your room and barricade the door. That is the manly policy.
But suppose I meet him on the way.
Well, Jeeves will accompany you. Right-ho, Jeeves?
Certainly, sir.
Right-ho, then. Get going, Gussie. I shall return to the dining room and start mixing a large drink for Aunt Delia. Something tells me that after soothing Anatole, she will need to restore the tissues in no uncertain manner. In no uncertain manner. Oh. Hello, Aunt Delia.
Attila.
What?
Attila. That's the name. Attila the Hun.
Sorry?
I've been trying to think for days who you reminded me of. Somebody who went about strewing ruin and desolation and breaking up homes. Attila is the man.
Oh.
Give me a drink. It's amazing. To look at you, one would think you were just an ordinary sort of amiable idiot. Certifiable, perhaps, but quite harmless. Yet, in reality, you're a worse scourge than the Black Death. I tell you, Bertie, when I contemplate you, I seem to come up against all the underlying sorrow and horror of life with such a thud that I feel as if I'd walked into a lamppost.
But Aunt Delia...
Silence, Tick! Do you realize what you started when you sent that spink bottle man down here? As regards his getting Blotto and turning the prize-giving ceremonies into a sort of two-wheel comic film, I will say nothing, for frankly, I enjoyed it. But when he comes leering at Anatole through skylights, just after I had with infinite pains and tact induced him to withdraw his notice, and makes him so temperamental that he won't hear of staying on after tomorrow.
What? No!
Yes! Anatole goes tomorrow. And I suppose poor old Tom will have indigestion for the rest of his life. And that's not all. I've just seen Angela, and she tells me she's engaged to this bottle.
Well, temporarily, yes.
Temporarily be blowed. She's definitely engaged to him, and talks with a sort of hideous coolness of getting married in October. So, there it is. If the Prophet Job were to walk into the room at this moment, I could sit swapping hard luck stories with him till bedtime. Not that Job was in my class.
He had boils.
Well, what are boils?
Dash painful, I understand.
Nonsense. I'd take all the boils on the market in exchange for my troubles. Oh, can't you realize the position? I've lost the best cook in England. My husband will probably die of dyspepsia. And my only daughter, for whom I had dreamed such a wonderful future, is engaged to be married to an inebriated newt fancier. And you talk about boils!
I don't absolutely talk about boils. The whole thing, I merely mentioned that Job had them. But I agree with you, Aunt Daly, that things are not looking too oojar come Smith at the moment. But be of good cheer. A Worcester is seldom baffled for more than a nonce.
You rather expect to be coming along shortly with another of your schemes?
At any minute.
I thought as much. Well, it needed but this. I don't see how things could possibly be worse than they are. But no doubt you will succeed in making them so. Your genius and insight will find the way. Carry on, Bertie. Yes, carry on. I'm past caring now. I shall even find a faint interest in seeing into what darker and profounder abysses of hell you can plunge this home.
Oh, yes, Jeeves?
A note for you, sir.
A note for me, Jeeves?
A note for you, sir.
From whom, Jeeves?
From Miss Bassett, sir.
From whom, Jeeves?
From Miss Bassett, sir.
From Miss Bassett, Jeeves?
From Miss Bassett, sir.
Look, you two, for heaven's sake, cut out the cross-talk vaudeville stuff, will you? I've enough to bear without having to listen to you two doing your imitation of the two Macs.
Thank you, Jeeves.
Very good, sir. Madam?
Now, what, I wonder, can this female be writing to me about?
Well, why not open the damn thing and see?
Very excellent idea, Aunt Elia.
And if you are interested in my movements, I propose to go to my room, do some yogi deep breathing, and try to forget.
Righto. Hey! Look at this! Look at this!
Don't do that!
Yes, but dash it! This note! Did you know what's happened? Madeline Bassett says that now her engagement to Gussie is at an end, she's prepared to devote the rest of her life to making me happy.
Good! And I hope it keeps fine for you.
Oh, my hat! I would be paltering with the truth if I denied that the news item which I have just recorded had got in amongst me like an egg whisk. I'd been expectant, of course, but with the somewhat more immediate problem of saving Gussie's life on my mind, I'd rather put the feeling of impending doom on one side, and it now hit me with all the force of a charging rhinoceros. For this note, I knew, could only mean one thing. The Bassett, in the belief that the Worcester heart had long been hers and was waiting ready to be scooped in on demand, had decided to take up her option. And I, as a man of honour and sensibility, had not much choice but to come across and kick in. I was just reading the note again, in the vain hope that a second perusal would enable me to place a different construction on its contents, when the door opened and in came the Bassett herself. A slight flush mantled her cheek, and she unshipped a sigh that sounded like the wind going out of a rubber duck. Embarrassing. Very. However, I've always found that there is nothing that helps to ease you over one of these awkward moments like a spot of stage business. Find something to do with the hands, and it's half the battle. So I grabbed a plate and hastened forward. A spot of salmon.
Thank you.
With a suspicion of salad?
If you please.
And to drink? Name the poison.
I think I would like a little orange juice.
Ah, O.J. Yes, quite.
You were... I'm sorry.
I beg your pardon.
You were saying... No, please go on.
Oh, righto. Yes. With reference to yours of even date...
You got my note?
Yes. I got your note.
I gave it to Jeeves to give it to you.
Yes. He gave it to me. That's how I got it. Yes, I got it all right.
I see. You got it.
Yes, I got it. I've just been reading it. And what I wanted to ask you, if we happened to run into each other, was, what about it?
What about it?
That's what I say. What about it?
But it was quite clear.
Oh, quite. Perfect clear. Very well expressed and all that. But, I mean, well, I mean, deeply sensible of the honour, and so forth. But, well, dash it. fruit salad?
No, thank you.
Spot of pie?
No, thanks.
One of these glue things on toast?
No, thank you. I'd have a cheese straw. I beg your pardon.
Sorry.
Do go on.
No, you go on.
Bertie, I think I know what you're trying to say. You are surprised.
Yes.
You are thinking of...
Exactly.
Mr. Finknottle.
The very man.
You find what I have done hard to understand.
Absolutely. I mean to say, dash it, if you love the man...
No longer.
Oh, come.
No. What happened this afternoon has killed my love. A smear of ugliness has been drawn across a thing of beauty, and I can never feel towards him as I did.
Oh, I say. I mean, look, I mean, have you considered that you've got a wrong line on Gussie's performance this afternoon? Admitted that all the evidence points to a more sinister theory, what price him simply having got a touch of the sun? Chaps do get touches of the sun, you know, especially when the weather's hot.
Bertie, it was like you to say that. I respect you for it.
Oh, no.
Yes. You have a splendid, chivalrous soul.
Not a bit.
Yes, you have. I like you for that, Bertie. It was fine of you. Fine and big. But it is no use. There are things which kill love. I can never forget Augustus. I can never feel for anyone else the flame-like passion I once felt for him. But my love for him is dead. Bertie, I will be your wife.
Oh. Righto.
What Ho Jeeves is produced by the BBC. Richard Briers is Bertie Wooster, and Michael Hordern plays Jeeves. I'm your host, Fred Callan. Senior producer for NPR Playhouse is Mary Lou Finnegan.